You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from M&T Bank in Greater Washington. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Cecilia Hodges, M&T Bank, Kate Chuning, McBride Real Estate Services, and Steve Huberman, Certain Advisors. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today, including Rita and Christopher Foss, CEO and co-founder of Ironistic, Fred Press, managing partner and founder of Press, Dozier & Hammelburg, Richard McBride, president of McBride Real Estate Services, and Rob Longman, managing member of Longman and Van Grack. Let's get to know our first guests. First, Rita Voss and Christopher Foss, CEO and co-founder of Ironistic. What is Ironistic? What do you guys do?
Ironistic is a web development, online marketing, and ongoing evolution firm.
So you're a marketing related firm doing stuff online, and I guess you bring in others to help with other specialties of marketing?
That's exactly right. We are a digital agency that assists clients with their online presence, and if they would like offline work, we'll also work with partners.
And how large or how small is this organization?
We are now up to 30 employees.
And how old is this organization?
We were started in March of 2012, 5.5 years.
So you're about 5.5 years old. And now you guys started this business together?
Yes, the two of us, as well as a co-founder in Wisconsin.
All right. So you guys started this business together, and weren't you afraid of failure? I mean, you know, usually one spouse keeps the full-time gig going, but you both did this together. You both jumped feet first?
We're very supportive of each other, and we figured it was going to succeed only if we both went all in.
So, Rita, where are you from originally?
I'm a military brat, and I lived in 5 different states.
And how many different schools did you graduate? How many different schools did you go to prior to graduating high school?
I attended like 6 or 7 different schools.
And you know, typically when we hear, you know, kids moved around to that many schools in their childhood, it's pretty tough, you know, adjusting and, you know.
I loved it. It was wonderful. I thought it was a great opportunity to have a clean slate. I didn't mind proving myself wherever I went.
So you sort of embraced the new. You embraced what's coming on.
Without a doubt. I mean, it helped having older siblings that I was guaranteed to have friends wherever we went.
So how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I am the 4th of 4.
So you had older siblings. So they sort of like maybe made it a little bit easier because you knew that they were there.
But easier or harder, depending on the circumstances.
I get it. And Christopher, where are you from originally?
Similar kind of background. I grew up as a military brat as well. 8 different schools before I graduated from high school.
So how did you feel about moving to these 8 different schools?
Absolutely loved it. Every place, it was a new adventure. We got to meet new people. I actually looked forward to it pretty much every time.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
1 older brother, 2 little sisters.
So you're also 1 of 4. You're the 2nd of 4, though.
Correct.
So how long have you guys been married?
We've been married 21 years.
And how long have you guys been together?
Almost 29.
And
what she said.
And how many years into the relationship, either hanging out together or being married together, how many years were you into it before you guys started conspiring about starting your own business together?
I think that's something we've talked about actually since we had been married. I mean, this isn't the first time we had started a business. We had actually done so, I guess, 17 years ago. And it evolved into getting actually picked up by a larger firm. And so when we tried it this time around, it was a little less scary. We knew a little bit what we were getting into.
So you guys are both married, as well as you've built a previous business and exited it earlier, and you're doing it again.
We couldn't imagine, I mean, starting a business with anybody else. I mean, you want to start a business with somebody you trust, and he's got my utmost trust.
Wow, how interesting. All right, co-host, what kind of questions you got? Who's got some interesting questions?
So you've been together for almost 30 years now. And growing up, you loved to move around. You liked new scenery and new adventures. So how do you keep the marriage fresh, being with someone for 30 years?
So I move the furniture around a lot.
Yeah.
And we go on vacations. I mean, we travel, you know, either to see family or now it's to see colleges.
And I think we do just complement each other so well. So Rita's very grounded. I'm off in 1,000 different directions all the time. And so I kind of push her sometimes, and she keeps me grounded and sane. So it works out well.
Okay, what do you got?
You mentioned the risk that you all have taken on by putting all your eggs in one basket, going into business together. Do you think you're childhoods of going to a variety of different schools and sort of having that clean slate starting over gave you the ability to sort of face the risk of starting business?
Without a doubt. I mean, we weren't new to the field. I had the education, he had the experience, and we weren't new to new environments. Mm-hmm. We had done our research. We were smart enough to know what we were getting into, the marketplace, and again, with each other, we knew we could conquer anything.
And really, I just add the confidence factor to that. So every time we moved around, we had to reestablish ourselves as kids. And so taking that leap as adults, it was less scary, and we were more confident in being able to do it because we'd taken risks, forced to because of our parents. But we were forced to, but we adapted and were able to succeed.
What do you do to make your work relationship work and your home relationship work?
Communication. We constantly have to talk. It's, you know, becoming more difficult as the kids age and they don't sleep. So finding that time alone is more challenging. So we have breakfast together once a week to make sure that we're talking about the things that we can't talk about in front of either coworkers or children.
Mm. And it's funny because as we have some of these conversations, we actually have to start with some of them as your spouse, here's how I feel, but as your business partner, here's how I feel. And we have those kind of clear lines of delineation.
Earlier you mentioned that, and I was surprised, that you felt like you cheated your kids because you haven't moved to home mess or a couple of times or whatever. What did you mean by that? How do you think you cheated them? What are you talking about?
There's a lot that can be learned from moving around. I think it helps you become more grounded individually, knowing who you are and what you can accomplish. And also like establishing different routines and becoming more adaptable to the environments.
Yeah, it's all about the exposure to different things. And when we were growing up, we were forced to. As you know, military brats, we had to move around and we were exposed to all different kinds of things. And we want to make sure our kids had that same experience. And so it's a lot harder when you're all in one
place.
So
how do you go about doing it to the kids?
A lot of travel. So we do travel around quite a bit. And we try to, you know, we've extended family all across the world. So our kids were excited to say they've been to Japan to visit their uncle. And we expose them to different environments. And we always challenge them to think outside of kind of where they've grown up.
So I hear a theme that you guys are both agreeing on is this key of exposure and being able to adapt. And I'm wondering, what does that have to do? Is there any connection between that and this business called Ironistic?
Without a doubt. I mean, the internet is ever-changing, ever-evolving, and if you don't adapt to it, you will definitely fall out.
And on the marketing side, it's all about looking at things from a different direction. And when you're moving around all the time or getting exposed to a lot of different things, you have no choice. You have to look at things from other people's perspective and from different angles. And when you're thinking about how to build something online and then market it, it's all about trying to figure out, okay, how can we position this in a way that stands out and is successful?
So you guys, it seems to me that you folks are of the opinion one of the benefits of moving around, which is terrifying for many kids, you guys sort of embraced it. You think that helped you get into the swing of things when you're bringing on a new client and truly trying to help that client understand what the options are and getting to know the client, your nature, your ability to suck it in reasonably quickly and thoroughly maybe stems from your childhood?
Without a doubt. I mean, I think clients have a hard time with change, for some clients at least, and change is something that we totally embrace.
Well, I guess if you're operating an online digital agency, I mean, you know, you've got to be abreast. You have to be aware of everything all the time. Wait a minute, I have a question. So how old are your kids?
We have 15, 17, and 19.
What have you learned from your kids that's helped you build your business?
Patience.
Definitely patience, especially as we acquire more and more employees. Uh-huh. The three kids have three very different personalities, and our employees have very different personalities. And so not only are we managing our clients, and they're all across the board. Sometimes it's IT people, sometimes it's marketing people, sometimes it's business owners.
Mm-hmm.
But raising three very different kids has definitely taught us how to interact with very different people.
And we consider our business another family, and we love the size of it because it is a family-sized business. And even if you ask our employees, they were to describe us in one word, it would be family.
That's interesting. Have the kids helped you understand what's going on online? Have the kids exposed you to online stuff, whether it's Instagram or whatever it might be?
I was going
to
say, some of the social media things, definitely. Being in the digital marketing world, I should hear about these things first. But when my kid in sixth grade comes home and talks about a new Snapchat, what is the Snapchat thing? Mm-hmm. And so definitely, they've taught us new tools that are out there, but also new ways that people are using the internet. This is the next generation, and how they use the internet is very different than how we do.
So you're actually learning from your kids stuff about your business that it's able to help your clients.
Well, it helps that they grew up with computers, where we weren't introduced really to computers until college.
Mm-hmm. How interesting. Well, what's the website address for this company?
Ironistic.com.
How do you spell that?
IronisTic.
.com. Let me have that one more time.
Ironistic.com.
We've been speaking with Rita and Christopher Foss, CEO and co-founder of Ironistic, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Cecilia Hodges, M&T Bank, Kate Chuning, McBride Real Estate Services, and Steve Huberman, Certain Advisors. We'd like to introduce Fred Press, managing partner and founder of Press Dozier and Hammelburg. Fred, what is Press Dozier and Hammelburg? What are you guys doing?
It's a small law firm in Bethesda, Maryland, primarily focusing on business law, commercial real estate. We do commercial litigation as well. Mm-hmm. We represent, for the most part, small companies that either in formation stage or in transactional matters or in litigation matters. And we do a lot of commercial real estate involving purchase, sale, leasing for both landlords and tenants, and refinancings.
Uh-huh. What did mom and dad do for a living?
My father was an attorney, and my mother was a businesswoman who traveled all over the world.
You're more like your mom or your dad?
I think that intellectually I'm more like my father, but emotionally I'm much more like my mother.
What are you talking about?
My father instilled an intellectual sense, a love of learning, integrity. My mother was much more ambitious for me, I think. She was also a very loving and emotional person, and I think I got my emotional side from her and my intellectual side from my father.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. It says here that you're the managing partner and founder of Press Dozier and Hammelburg, a law firm.
Yes.
What are you talking about? You're like an emotional individual. What are you talking about?
One of the reasons I founded the firm was to make a place that was a collegial place, that put a lot of emphasis on doing quality work, but also where the people respected and enjoyed working with each other, and a recognition that people have lives outside of the office. When I was a younger lawyer and did recruiting, one of my recruiting lines was, I never missed a school play. Mm-hmm. And I got that from the fact that my parents, no matter where they were, never missed a school play when
so
I was out.
How young were you when you started making, where'd you grow up, by the way?
New York City.
Where?
First in Queens, and then in Manhattan.
And how young were you when you started making money, and what were you doing?
I would say I was probably 12 or so, and the first thing I can remember doing, even though we lived in the city, we lived in an area that had single-family homes, and when it snowed, I would go out and try and shovel sidewalks and driveways.
Whose idea was it?
Mine.
It was your idea, so you were pretty self-motivated as a kid.
I guess so.
Uh-huh. And the other jobs that you had as a kid, what were they, and what did you do different than the other kids that had those jobs?
Well, I can't speak to what other kids did, but in my case, when I got into high school and started looking for summer jobs, one of the places I worked was for the company that my mother worked for, and I worked as pretty much a backroom clerk, where I was responsible for all sorts of paperwork types of things, organizing things, and I took the job very seriously. I think I was sociable with the people that I worked with. Wait, but I was clearly...
You were working with your mom.
No, I was not working with my mother.
Uh-huh.
I was working for the same company.
She got you the job, though.
Yes.
Did she ever tell you any feedback she got about about you?
No.
Uh-huh. So, but you took it seriously. You weren't messing around.
So.
You weren't messing around. What's that have to do with what you're doing with this law practice?
Well, I think the philosophy that I bring to it, and I think that my colleagues bring to our practice, is we take our our jobs very seriously. We don't necessarily take ourselves seriously.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Cecilia, what do you think?
So you're an only child. How was it growing up as an only child? Was it lonely?
No, growing up as an only child as a child was terrific. You know, the world, the sun rose and set around me. But as I got older, I learned that it was there was a suffocating aspect to it. And as my parents aged, I realized I had no one to share any childhood memories with, and I had no one to share the burdens as they became older and became ill.
So how did being an only child affect your practice of law?
I think that I would never want to be a sole practitioner. I think that I have a self-motivation to get things done, to get things started and finished.
Yeah, I get it. Kay, what are you thinking?
How would your friends describe you as a 14-year-old?
Probably a little bit of a goody-goody, a little bit, I'm not going to say nerdy, but more interested in doing well in school than I was in extracurricular activities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's that tell us about your personality and your law practice nowadays?
I think I'm completely different. I'm much more outgoing. I think I have a great sense of humor. I try and keep the, even in business negotiations, I try and keep the atmosphere light, not make it a personal thing.
Uh-huh. Stephen, what are you picking up? What are you thinking?
Do you have kids?
I have three children, three adults.
Three adult children. And so being an only child, yet having three children, you had a very different dynamic as a parent than a child in the household.
Right, and I should also mention that my wife is an only child. So mm-hmm. that really has governed the way we've brought up our children.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Trying to get them to be friends with each other, to recognize the family relationship. As they've gotten older, we've discovered we learn more about our children through triangulation than by directly speaking with them.
Stephen, what else were you thinking there? What else were you going?
Well, I was just wondering, when you have the experience of growing up as an only child and then you have three children, right, you don't have some guideposts or experiences to draw from, so...
Well, that's true. I mean, I remember when my kids were young and one would complain that he or she was being unfairly... singled out, my response was always, that's because I love them more than I love you.
And, oh my gosh.
And my wife always said that was actually a great response because they knew it was a joke. And they could feel comfortable about it.
So what have you learned about watching the dynamic of the three kids that helps you appreciate further your own childhood or what else could have happened back then?
Well, as I say, I think that as an only child when I was young, it was great because I didn't have to share. Mm-hmm. But as I got older, I realized having siblings that you can lean on, that you can share with, is a gift. If you don't have it when you're growing up, you realize it's a gift when you get older.
So the similarity between your being the managing partner of this law firm and the people you deal with in the law firm and being a parent, what's the similarity there?
I would say in my particular case, there's no similarity. I don't think that my skills as a businessman, as a manager, would translate well in the family setting of trying to run the family.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what else you got? Cecilia, what else you got?
What would you be doing today if you weren't doing your current business?
You know, I think about that a lot, and... I know what I would like to do, but I don't have the talent for it. And so I sometimes think that much as from time to time I rail about what I've done for the last 45 years, I realize that actually I do enjoy it and I'm good at it. So I'm not sure that I really would be doing anything different.
All right. You want to share with us what you'd like to do if you had the talent to do it?
I'd like to write fiction.
Fiction?
Yes.
Well, hopefully the briefs you write are not fiction. I can understand that. Okay, I get that.
It's kind of hard to write fiction and throw in whereas and wherefore. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work, huh? What's the best part of your day?
I come in, I'm an early riser, and the best part of the day is probably those hour and a half in the morning when I can get a lot done with nobody, no phones, and nobody else in the office.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address of this law firm, Press Dozier?
PressDozierLaw.com.
How do you spell that?
Press, P-R-E-S-S, like press a button, mm-hmm. Dozier, like Dan, Omaha, Zebra, Idaho Echo Romeo Law, LAW.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Fred Press, managing partner and founder of Press Dozier and Hamelberg, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this break. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-host, Cecilia Hodges, M&T Bank, Kate Schuning, McBride Real Estate Services, and Steve Huberman, Certain Advisors. We'd like to introduce Richard McBride, president of McBride Real Estate Services. Richard, what is McBride Real Estate Services? What are you guys doing?
McBride Real Estate Services is a Washington, D.C.-based commercial real estate company specializing in tenant representation.
Wait a minute. Tenant rep. So you're telling me that sometimes the broker could have a conflict if he's trying to sell the landlord's building. How great of a deal is that? He's not really going to be pushing for the tenant, whereby tenant rep doesn't have that conflict. Tenant rep, all Absolutely. You're doing is representing the tenant. You don't really care about how their landlord feels at the end of the day. Well, I guess you do, but you know, you're really advocating for the client.
That's exactly it. We want to make sure that our client is getting the best representation possible. And you know, putting the deal together is an important component, of course, but I find that the bigger aspect of it is really creating a strategy that serves the client's business interests.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that you're going to talk to your clients about their business needs as opposed to just their space needs?
Shockingly, but yes.
So you're concerned about where the workforce can get to work easiest, and if it snows, and is the parking good, and what's the environment,
and their growth plans, and what their business strategy is, and how to best serve that. You know, you have a lot of rapidly growing technology companies that are really trying to plan for their own growth, and there's a lot of art and science to being able to navigate those shoals.
I see. Interesting. How large or how small is this organization?
We are a whopping dozen in our motley crew.
Uh-huh. Where are you from originally?
I'm a Washingtonian. I was born downtown.
And I understand that you have another business idea. What's the other business
idea? I do. We about a year and a half ago, we launched a company called Swing Space.
Mm-hmm. And what is Swing Space? What solution is it providing?
Swing Space is a platform for transacting office leasing online. It allows tenants and landlords to find each other, especially for small spaces.
Uh-huh. Interesting. How young were you when you were coming up with ideas? And give us an example.
Oh, gosh. I've always had ideas, some better than others. One was making and selling pea shooters in middle school, but I also did a lot of conventional stuff like help out my parents in, you know, fixing up houses when they were renovating them in the Bethesda area, or doing a paper route and all that good stuff.
Uh-huh. So when you were selling pea shooters, you understood the demand. And you created the supply. You were basically being an entrepreneur with the pea shooters when you were a kid.
There you go.
And you mentioned that your mom was in residential real estate. How young were you when you began working with your mom?
I guess I was around 10 or 11 when she got into the business and started off when she was an agent, putting up for sale signs and stuffing envelopes and putting them in people's mailboxes. And then when she started her own company, would work in the office after school.
So how'd you feel about working in your mom's business as opposed to, you know, your friends are outside playing and you're working? How'd you feel about that?
I was proud to work in her office. It was a great environment and a lot of fun.
Earlier you mentioned that you think that you're creating every day.
Yes.
Now, I can see that because you came up with the interesting business idea, Swing Space. But what do you mean that you're creating every day? You're creating a new business idea every day? What do you mean?
Well, business ideas are one part of it. But I think when you're running a business, you're constantly creating the brand that you're building. You're creating your logo. You're creating your culture. You're creating the way you're marketing yourself. And you're creating solutions for your clients.
So you see everything as creating. Have you always seen life like that?
Absolutely. I mean, that to me, to create the creative part of things is what gives me the most joy. And quite frankly, with the rise of AI and the way technology is going to be taking over so much of commerce, mm-hmm. I think that human creativity is going to be the last great value proposition that we humans offer.
Mm-hmm. Stephen, what are you thinking?
You didn't always work for yourself.
That's right.
What was that inflection point that you decided to take the risk and went out on your own?
Well, when the pain and burden of working for somebody else became greater than the fear of failure, then I made the leap when I was about 40 years old and launched McBride Real Estate Services.
What do you mean? What are you talking about there? Give me some more details about that.
Well, you know, I really love the people I worked with for almost 20 years in brokerage, but, you know, I could do that job in my sleep, and I really didn't have any creative control over the kinds of things that I wanted to implement. And being able to just launch off on my own and run things with in a much more streamlined environment that I could shape was far more appealing.
Cecilia, what are you thinking?
Tell us about growing up. What did your parents do when you were small, and how many siblings do you have?
I'm the oldest of four, and my dad was a civil engineer who built earth stations, which were the old-fashioned word for satellite dishes all around the world on mountaintops. And my mom started a residential real estate company here in the D.C. area.
And so as the oldest child, were you frequently in charge of the younger siblings? So you had a working mom and a dad that was away quite a bit?
My mom was smart enough to know not to trust me with my younger siblings until they were older. But I was expected to be successful in other areas.
Mm-hmm. So, Kay, what do you got?
Well, as a business owner and an entrepreneur, what do you do in your free time?
I do a lot of stuff. Surfing is my passion, and I'm much more passionate about it than I am skilled, but I love to garden. I'm learning how to play guitar now. I've been playing ukulele for several years, and, reading and all that kind of wonderful, boring things that take me out of my daily grind.
Why ukulele?
Why ukulele? Yeah. Because it's easy and easy to transport. So I stuff that in my backpack wherever I go, and I've taken my ukulele all around the world. And it's also a great way to connect with people in different cultures. I was down in Cuba in April, and built some great friends through music, as well as in Costa Rica, on a trip before that, getting to know families that I would have never been able to connect with otherwise.
So you're using the ukulele as a way to connect with people from around the world when you travel?
Yes.
So you understand about developing relationships, don't you?
Absolutely.
Has that helped you in your real estate career?
Most certainly.
Give us an example. What do you mean?
Well, I haven't connected musically with any of my clients, but certainly there's always a commonality if you you talk to somebody and you find out what they're interested in. And if you're a fairly multifaceted person, you're going to find areas of common interest. And deep down, we're all really the same people. And so by understanding your own motivations, you're going to be able to understand what motivates others.
Interesting. Stephen, what are you thinking about this? You're talking about we're all the same kind of people, and if you reach, give me that again.
By understanding your own motivations, you're going to be able to understand what motivates others, because we're all basically wired the same.
Well, I'm trying to figure out I thought you were in the real estate business, though.
Right, but we're also in the people business and solving problems business, and real estate is just the lens that we use to direct our energy.
So it's interesting. So you're seeing, you're really sensitive to connection, which is one of the reasons you're really into the ukulele, because it's easy to transport around, and when you go to different parts of the world, you can connect with people. And that's the same thing you're doing with real estate, where it's about relationships and connecting with people.
Absolutely.
And I guess because if you can't connect with them, they're not going to do business with you. But I read in the newspapers all the time about litigation and people suing each other and blood and guts, and I thought business was really rotten stuff. What do you think?
I think that business gets a bad name, and the press enjoys more fun when there's bad news. So business tends to be something where people are trying to help each other out and find a common interest. And it gets back to the point of sales. I believe that sales should be an act of love.
Interesting, because you think everybody can win. It could be a win-win. It's not a matter of win-lose.
Well, it's not just win. Certainly it's not a zero-sum game, but by an act of love, I mean that when you're selling something, you're not trying to get you shouldn't have the attitude of trying to get someone to do something that they didn't want to do, like the archetypical used car salesman. No offense to any used car salesman out there, but what you should be doing is trying to find a way to give somebody a better opportunity. And to me, sales is putting your hand out with something open to give, rather than putting your hand out asking for someone to give you something.
Do you see retirement in your future, or are you one of those folks that's going to keep on keeping on?
I want to work for the rest of my life, but just very little.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, I think by staying engaged, that's what keeps you going. And retirement can be the most common cause of death for most people. So staying engaged actively keeps you alert mentally and keeps you, you know, present.
So that that staying in the game allows you to keep creating, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It's just like the ukulele. As you're learning more stuff, you hear about constant learning or persistent learning. You are that, and you like creating at the same time as well as learning. And it sounds to me like that's what business is for you. It's an act of creation.
Well, we all have our mediums, right? Here you are on the radio. You're creating some great programming here, and we all have our way to find and create value, because creation is the heart of value, and that's what drives our economy.
Creation is the heart of value. So you see it, everybody can win together. What's the website address of this organization, the McBride Real Estate?
McBride, R-E-S, as in realestateservices.com. M-C-B-R-I-D-E-R-E-S.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Richard McBride, president of McBride Real Estate Services, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment, right after this break. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Rob Longman, managing member of Longman and Van Grack. Rob, what is Longman and Van Grack? What are you guys doing?
We are a law firm. We practice in business practice. We're representing mom-and-pop companies as well as million-dollar corporations in all aspects of their business. Estate planning, so the drafting of wills, powers of attorneys, and trust, as well as tax representation for people before the Internal Revenue Service and local state authorities, and commercial litigation.
How large or how small is this firm?
We have 9 attorneys.
9 attorneys. And where are you from originally?
I am from Potomac, Maryland.
And how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
I have 2 brothers, and I am right in the middle.
You're right in the middle. What was the effect of you growing up in the middle of 3 brothers when you were a kid?
Probably making life difficult for me.
Tell me a little bit more about that. What was that all about?
Well, you always have an older brother who was 4 years older than me, so he always had the opportunity to do everything before me, and I still had usually about 2 to 3 years before I got to catch up and do that. Mm-hmm. But with a younger brother who was only 2 years below me, he was usually about my level, so still able to do the things that I was doing, even though I was older.
What'd you tell us about bedtime?
Well, bedtime was always difficult. My older brother, obviously, for example, say, would go to bed at 9, whereas me and both my younger brother were still going to bed at 8:30.
Mm-hmm. So you want to be treated fairly. And what kind of sports were you playing as a kid?
My sport that I really focused on was taekwondo.
Tell us a little bit about what that's all about and how that describes your personality.
Well, you know, for me, a lot of what was behind taekwondo was the discipline. You know, while, yes, you do have the martial arts behind it and the fighting, it's really about the discipline. And, you know, that helps me to focus on what I need to get done for work, as well as moving forward and accomplishing my goals.
So you've developed a great deal of discipline through sports, which is coming through in the law practice, building the law practice?
It definitely comes through in building a law practice. Especially in my law practice, I work from home mainly. So it's having that discipline to be able to sit down at the desk that I've set aside to make sure I get everything done that I need to get done.
Earlier you mentioned that you were a volunteer EMT. What was that all about? What turned you on about that?
Well, I've always enjoyed the medical field, but my whole family's basically in the medical field, and it was just an exciting time and a big adrenaline rush for me and a lot of fun.
So being an EMT, an emergency medical technician with an ambulance, you sort of enjoyed that.
Oh, I loved it. It was tons of fun.
Uh-huh. What's that have to do with the practice of law?
They're similar in the sense that you're helping people. And a lot of times, especially in my practice, you see people at difficult times, just like you're seeing them when they're back in the ambulance. And I always remember something somebody taught me is that, you know, no matter what you had in the back of the ambulance, whether it's a broken ankle or a sprained finger or a cardiac arrest, to that person, it's an emergency. And it's the same thing with the practice of law. Somebody, typically when they call lawyers, aren't always in the best position. So when they give us a call, you know, even though I've seen it a million times, to them it's still that emergency. And, you know, you have to treat them with that respect so that you can help calm them down, make them feel better about their situation so that, you know, they feel a lot more calm.
Gotcha. Cecilia, what do you got?
What was the relationship like with your parents when you were growing up?
Probably more butting heads because, you know, they always wanted me to succeed, and obviously I wanted to succeed, but school wasn't always the easiest. So there was, you know, butting heads about that.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. You're an attorney now, which is a field that requires a lot of focus. What was that inflection point for you?
It was just, you know, turning it around and figuring out what I needed to do so I could get to where I was. Even in college, I first went in pre-med, changed my major to computer science, and then eventually switched to criminal behavior and graduated with that as my major. But, you know, it was just trying to find what fit for me.
Mm-hmm. Kay, what do you got?
What was a trait that was apparent in your childhood that you think has led you to this place now?
I'd say probably taking care of people for the most part. It wasn't something like I wasn't a caregiver to grandparents or anything along those lines, but I enjoy doing things for other people and trying to make other people happy.
So helping and solving problems and...
Helping, solving problems, and putting everything together to get people to a place where they need to be.
We're talking about people, so people would be clients and people would be group that works for you, all your associates. So a typical issue that all CEOs face is you have what you're passionate about and what you're good at, law, and then you start your own firm and now you have all the administrative tasks and you're balancing all those people. How do you make it work?
Balancing it has not always been easy. Really, most of it gets balanced between my partner and I, and we've kind of divided up the things that we're each good at to make sure that happens, whereas my partner handles the social media for the firm and other aspects of the firm for that, while I handle most of the finances and payments for the firm, which has always been a strong point for me.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that when you were a kid, you were involved with a group that was, what was that called? Young
Judea.
And what was that group about, and what was the role you ended up playing in that group?
It was a Zionist youth movement, and I was with it since I was a kid when I started going to camp at Camp Judea in North Carolina. But as I progressed, I started taking on leadership roles within the group to eventually become the president of the region.
So what was your role as president of the region?
It was making sure and just, I guess, overseeing all the other people who had positions as leadership and making sure that everything moved smoothly.
So your role was organizing everybody and keeping everything organized and excited.
Correct. Trying to keep things moving forward. And, you know, in some ways, you're almost like a politician and you're going out and meeting with all the members and, you know, making sure that people are enjoying what they're doing and seeing what you can do to make it more enjoyable.
So what did you learn from that as a kid that has anything to do with running this law firm?
You know, it's leadership. It's the idea of trying to keep everybody happy. That's what a business is about, and making sure that my clients are happy, the people I'm working with are happy, because that's what's going to lead to the success of your business. While I've switched law firms in the past, a lot of my clients have always come with me, even when they weren't originally my client at that law firm, and it's because of the service that I provided to them.
Excellent.
And got involved with them.
Website address?
LVGlawfirm.com, Larry Victor Gold Lawfirm.com.
We have Rob Longman, managing member Longman and Van Grek. We've also had the opportunity of speaking with Rita and Christopher Foss, CEO and co-founder Ironistic, Fred Press, managing partner and founder of Press Dozier and Hamelberg, Richard McBride, president of McBride Real Estate Services, and most recently Rob Longman, managing member of Longman and Van Grek. Here on Executive Leaders, I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Cecilia Hodges, M&T Bank, Kay Chuning, McBride Real Estate Services, and Steve Huberman, Certain Advisors, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.